Hello, everyone. It is Tuesday, May the 3rd, 2016. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. It is very early. I am Shauna Renee. Welcome to the podcast. Not fully caffeinated just yet, but I'm almost there. So I'm going to try to do the best that I can to answer these questions for you. This is a continuation of a series that I have been promising for quite some time. So many questions have come in through my email and social media outlets, and I've been collecting them and slowly but surely answering them. But now is the time. I have been called to the carpet, called out. What are you doing? You owe these people your attention. And so let me just say this before I get into this. These are my opinions based on my own experiences. I believe that we all experience the same thing, maybe in different ways from different perspectives. I am a certified holistic health counselor, so I can help you with issues having to do with health and wellness. I am also a certified life coach, so I can help you with tools that you may need in order to start creating a healthier, happier, more fulfilling life for yourself. I am a nearly 20 years broadcast veteran. So if you have issues about media, if you have issues about being a woman in a man's world, I can certainly help you out with that. I am a mother, so I can help you with parenting issues. And I am a lover, which means that I can give you some perspective on relationships from my own point of view. However, I will always encourage and recommend that if what I say doesn't resonate with you, or if you need further advice, that you by all means seek the advice, the care, and the attention of a professional. Having said that, let's get into it. I only have time for like three questions, so I'm going to go through these really quickly. All right. So the first one is a health and wellness question. This is from Mel, who says, last year I lost 40 pounds through exercise and eating right. During that time, I had to cook three separate meals at dinner, one for me, one for my husband, and one for my daughter. The entire family needs to lose weight and get healthy, and I feel responsible for them and want to be the healer you talk about in Fab Life, but the resistance is real. Help. Well, Mel, yeah, the resistance is real and you are not alone. Welcome to my world and welcome to the world of many other women who have made decisions to improve their lifestyle through exercise and diet. Understand this. First things first, you've come to that decision in your own time, and your husband, for example, may not have come to that decision. He may not be ready. He may need to be encouraged. He may not understand why he needs to come to that decision. He may not think that he does. And then as for your child's nutritional needs are very different from yours. You're trying to lose weight, but your child is going to need a different set of nutrients. Your child is going to need more calories. Your child is probably going to need more carbohydrates than maybe you are eating. So at the very least, you may for a while find yourself having to cook at least two different meals, one for the adult and one for the child. That's just something that I think you're just going to have to accept. That's something that I've come to accept. You know, my son is 9 years old. He is almost as tall as me, and he eats me out of house and home. So where I can sit down and have a salad with a little piece of salmon on it and be fine, he needs way more than that. So I'm going to have to cook a completely different meal for him to satisfy his nutritional needs. As for your man, here's the thing that you have to be really careful with. Usually when you meet a certain level of resistance, it's because you're doing too much initially. I see this a lot in relationships, and sometimes I see there's slight resistance, and sometimes I see the resistance is so great that it ends up breaking relationships up. Like, I've seen marriages end over major shifts in lifestyle. See, here's the thing. If the person that you met years ago and the person that you've lived with over a certain number of years is used to eating, living, because eating is part of living a certain way, and you make a decision to change and you don't give that person time to catch up with you, then you are going to experience a certain level of resistance because that's not their decision. because it was not their decision. The other habit that we have a tendency to do, and it becomes very annoying to our mates, is that we have a tendency to get real preachy. You know, I have made the decision to lose weight and eat right. You need to make the decision to lose weight and eat right, because this is the only way to be. I've seen this happen with people who may not be losing weight, but just may, for health decisions, health reasons, decide, you know, I'm going to become a raw food vegan, or I'm going to become a vegetarian, or I'm going to start, you know, eating a paleo diet. And that's the way everyone should eat. And, you know, you start carrying that flag, and it gets annoying because people are like, look, I'm glad you are there, but this is not where I am. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, someone who finds religion. When you find religion, like for the first few years, that's all you're talking about, because you're in the process of discovery. And some people are going to be there with you, some people are not. So I say that to say, if the resistance is great, it could likely be because you're kind of trying to force this down his throat. And that's not what you want to do. What you want to do instead, especially when it comes to maybe your husband, and you're saying that your whole family needs to lose weight. So what you want to do is you want to begin experimenting. So grab a couple of cookbooks. I do this with my boo thing. I'll grab a cookbook and I'll give it to him, and I'll say, okay, well, you know, anything in here looks interesting. Find something that looks interesting. And then he'll pick out a few things, and then I'll take a look at it. And if it's from one of my healthier cookbooks, I'll just make it as it is. If, you know, it's from a not so healthy cookbook, I'll make some adjustments, and he'll either like it or he doesn't. If he likes it, then I put that on the list of things that we can eat. If he wants something, like, let's say, you know, the other night he said, you know, I want steak and potatoes. I just want a steak and potatoes meal. Okay, that's fine. So I went ahead and I broiled a steak for him, and, you know, I gave him potatoes, and he got spinach with it, and I made a huge salad. And I don't eat a lot of red meat, but I will eat some occasionally. So I just kind of cut maybe 3 or 4 pieces off of that, put it on my salad. Again, it didn't take a whole lot of time. We didn't really eat 2 separate meals. It's just we kind of ate the same meal differently. And I started to notice when I did that, he would look over and be like, wow, that salad looks really good. And so a week later, he's like, you know, I'm not really hungry. I just want a salad. And so those things slowly started to change. Instead of just always going to chicken, I started making salmon. I started experimenting with certain vegetarian dishes every now and again. And for a long time, I had to make separate meals. And so that's what you have to do. You have to begin slowly and then introduce things. And then as your loved ones or your family starts to, one, get accustomed to eating lighter or a different kind of way, you'll notice that there will be dishes that they like, and those dishes go into your repertoire. And then also, it's important to allow your family the opportunity to just pig out every now and again. You know, no one wants to be with, like, you know, what they call like a veggie Nazi, like, you know, no disrespect intended, but no one wants to be with someone who just will not ever, ever eat ice cream again. I mean, unless this is a health issue for you, sometimes you just got to let it go and say, you know what? It's a special occasion. It's Saturday. We're going to go and just pig out and eat what we used to eat and enjoy ourselves, and then get back right on it Sunday. And sometimes you'll find that when you give people space to kind of come to a realization on their own, that you won't meet as much resistance. All right. So next question. I work with a woman who is jealous of my success. She's always talking about me behind my back to others, questioning my abilities. I've tried not to let it bother me, but I'm afraid her negativity is going to reflect poorly on me. I don't want bosses and coworkers to think that I'm involved in a catfight with this woman. By the way, she's a sister, which makes it worse. We should be on the same side. Very interesting question. Let me tell you a quick story. When I was in my 20s, just starting off in the business, I believed that the only way that I could achieve success was to bulldoze over people in front of me who I caught slipping. This was largely because it's what I had seen in the business coming up. Because most of my mentors who were men and very nice people, I mean, I'm not saying any of them used to do this, but, you know, I was raised in the business to, you know, you got to go for what you know. You got to get in where you fit in. You got to be ambitious. You got to be aggressive. That's the only way it's going to work. So I was very ambitious. I was very aggressive. You know, I was that cat that kind of sat back, or I was that woman that kind of sat back and, you know, watched somebody mess up and then boom, I'm in there. Yeah, I'm seeing that they're not doing so well. You know, I could do better. This was me in my 20s. And I lost a lot of friends, and I think I lost a lot of respect among my peers for behaving that way. But I didn't know any different because, like so many people, I was conditioned to believe in this business, which is a boys' club for sure, without question, the radio business, that there were few and far, that the opportunities for me as a woman were few and far between. I believed in the spirit of lack. And I'm finding the more and more I sit down and talk to women, and when I go out and I do these workshops, and I heard this a lot during the time when I was doing Coco Mode, that other women feel this way too. It's sort of like there can only be one of us at the top. Maybe there can be two, but the reality is, while, you know, white men realize that there can be 17 white men in middle management in the company, there can only be one black woman. So if you've got seven black women underneath, then, you know, we're all scratching trying to get there. And so, you know, we inadvertently sort of create this environment of just like this fierce competition. So the very first thing that we have to do is realize that that way of being is us and our masculine energy. And that's okay, because it is absolutely okay to be ambitious. It is absolutely okay to be a go-getter. But you also have to realize that as a woman, you have a responsibility to understand the importance of cooperation and of community. We can only get there if we help ourselves get there. So what you may be experiencing is a woman who wants to be where you are, but believes that the only way she can get where you are is if you're not there. And you could inadvertently be sending the same signal, which is, I have to stay where I am, and I got to make sure that nobody touches me, because if I get caught slipping, there's not enough for me and her. So that means her acceleration will mean my fall. Her rise will mean my fall. And so you kind of inadvertently send those signals. And so it does become this situation or this environment in which you all are constantly picking at each other, fighting at each other for the sake of what you believe to be your professional survival. So if you are a woman who is, you know, maybe slightly atop, maybe, you know, you're in a management position and she's not, I don't know, sort of on the hierarchy of where you are. But what I would suggest is you reach out to her and, you know, ask her to go to lunch, or, you know, catch her by the water cooler or whatever, but talk to her. Because what you may realize is that, number one, she might not be jealous of you. You know, a lot of times people will spread rumors, and they're not necessarily true. A lot of times people will come and say, oh, you know, such and such said this about you, when in reality, they didn't say it about you. The person who's telling you the other person said it about you is the one talking. So you really don't know. So you go to her, and, you know, you go to her nicely, and you go to her professionally. And you say, listen, you know, I'm working on this project, and, you know, I was wondering maybe if you'd like to help me, if you're in a position to do that. Or say, hey, you know, I realize that there aren't so many of us here in the company, and it's important that we really stick together. So, you know, why don't we go out and have, you know, lunch, or, you know, on the next break, go out and have coffee or something. Try to develop a relationship with her. This doesn't mean she'll accept it. She may not, but you may be surprised to see that by you reaching out to her, she will then feel a little more comfortable with you, and that then you all can cooperate and maybe find a way that you can coexist in that environment, and both become equally as successful. Again, I think it's important for women. We can't get caught up in this. She's jealous of me and she's hating on me and all of that stuff. Cause you'll never get another person who you think is jealous of you to say that they are jealous of you. And they usually aren't. A lot of times it's something else. It's fear. Again, it's a misguided belief that in order to get what you have, and it's not necessarily the things that you personally own, but the position you have or the accolades that you're getting or the level of success that you have, that they have to bring you down because, again, they don't believe that it's possible for two people to exist at that level. We've got to break that conditioning. We've got to understand as women, we have to look out for one another. Will it always go well? No. But if we don't try, we'll never know. So my suggestion to you is, yes, you all should be on the same side. So bring her over to your side and see what you can get out of that. All right, real quick, last question. Another health and wellness question. I recently started taking yoga class at a studio here in Washington, D.C. Oh, this is my hometown now. Well, not my hometown, but the town where my home currently happens to be. I'm a beginner and having trouble with some of the poses. Whenever the teacher walks by, I ask her for help, but it doesn't seem to make a difference. I've heard you and other people say that yoga is good for you, so I really want to stick with it, but it's so hard. Do you have any suggestions on what I could do to better enjoy the class? Yeah, you need to find another teacher. So let me say this. I was a yoga teacher for many, many years. I mean, I guess I still am a yoga teacher. I just don't teach very often. But I taught full time for quite some time, about maybe a year or so into my career after I had been registered. And it takes a long time for a yoga teacher to become aware not only of how their own body moves and how to demonstrate certain poses, but also to see how other people move in their bodies. So I remember when I first started teaching yoga, I would come across students and it was very clear to me that they were uncomfortable in their bodies. I remember there was one young woman, very tall, beautiful woman, but she just had no concept of the length of her limbs. It was just the most interesting thing to me. And so I knew that in teaching her, I really kind of had to be there to sort of remind her how long her legs were or how long her reach was so that she could, you know, reach fully or that she could be more careful about where she places those particular parts of her body. But that was something that I learned to do because I had a really good teacher and because I am fascinated with the way the bodies move. So I was always very much aware whenever I would teach or even be in class of how people were moving around. So you need to get a teacher who is there. And I would recommend, I mean, you're in DC, and this is probably the case for those of you who are probably in larger cities, and it might be more difficult if you live in a smaller city, but I would recommend looking for a teacher who has some experience. I mean, maybe 5+ years of experience. And do your research. I know a lot of times when we're new to yoga, it's like, oh, okay, I belong to a gym. And so there's yoga class at the gym. So I'm just going to take that yoga class. And that's a great place to start. But if you're finding that it's not doing anything for you, then go find another, because yoga is not just about exercising. It's not like Zumba where, you know, you do the moves or you don't, but your heart is beating and you're burning calories and it's all good. I mean, yoga is a full body holistic practice. It's heart. It's about your mind. It's about your body. It's about your soul. And so you need a teacher that understands that connection. In fact, yoga means unity, and it's the unity between those three elements. So you have to take your yoga class maybe a little, I don't want to say more seriously, but you kind of have to approach it from a slightly different perspective. So find a better teacher. You're in Washington, D.C. My teacher, Faith Hunter, has a studio in Adams Morgan called Embrace. Faith also happens to travel around the country. So no matter where you are, you'll probably come across her at some point. You can find her on Facebook and Twitter and all of those places, Faith Hunter. But the next time she's in town, I would suggest if you can go to her studio, take one of her classes so you kind of see what a teacher who knows how to teach a class, knows how to sequence a class properly, and also knows how to assist students in getting the most out of their practice, what they do. And then that way, once you know, you may not be able to practice with her every week, but you kind of know what it feels like, you know what it looks like. And then when you start to find your own local teacher, you'll know what you're looking for. All right. Thank you so much. I'm so excited whenever people ask about yoga. I also want to say, you know, for those of you who are looking in that direction, maybe looking for some ways to manage stress, yoga is a wonderful way to do that. So don't be afraid of it. But I really would suggest that you find a class. I know so many people are doing yoga from home, and you can go online and find teachers online that teach classes, but you really do need someone there that can look at you and assist you, because in yoga, sometimes, I mean, just the slightest adjustment can mean the difference between you getting the most out of the pose and permanently damaging yourself. So, all right, darlings, that does it for me. I got to go. Like I said, it's really early and I've got a ton of stuff to do, but keep the questions coming. You can email me, DJ Shauna Renee, S-H-A-W-N-A-R-E-N-E-E @gmail. You can also find me on Facebook. Just search for Shauna Renee. And I am on Instagram and Twitter, Ms. M.S. Shauna Renee, S-H-A-W-N-A-R-E-N-E-E. Until next week, take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.